There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your evidence, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very, very much for joining me today. A Shock and Farewell was used as the theme for the Ken Burns documentary, The Civil War, and it's one of my favorite pieces. I absolutely love it. The only thing that I find very interesting about this is that it is, it's kind of the main piece of music for that documentary, so it'd be very easy to assume that it was a piece that was created during that period of time, the Civil War, but in fact, it was composed in 1982. So it is not quite as poignant as I once thought. But I'll tell you, I absolutely love it. And you know, I just actually did a recent rewatch of Ken Burns' The Civil War. And if you have a chance to get on Blu-ray, let me tell you, all those photos that have been taken in the 1860s, all that stuff is absolutely beautiful and absolutely clear. I am by no means an expert in the Civil War, but I find it very fascinating, and I find it very fascinating talking about the spirits that have followed along throughout the or past the Civil War. And that's why I'm excited for my guest today. My friend John B. Cushman has dedicated a part of his life to history, becoming an expert on the Civil War era, as well as one of the Western region's largest collectors of Civil War memorabilia. It's so important that I can't even say the word. The preservation of history became the impetus for John in creating Ghost Town Operations, also known as GTOPS, a team of paranormal experts with proven track records in ghost hunting, film, and video production, as well as Dinner with a Ghost. The Ghost Town Operation team have traveled thousands of miles to date to film ghostly encounters, host events, and help national historic towns preserve their individual unique stories for the benefit of all. John's vision is to bring Dinner with a Ghost to some of our nation's most famous and historical landmarks and pay homage to their ghostly inhabitants. John is also the owner of the 1870 Octagon Mansion, which is a history museum in Wytheville, Virginia, which we're going to talk about today also. John, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Hey, long time, Greg. Long time.
It has been a long time. And
a couple years.
It has been. And I got to say, every time that we get together, I really do cherish our conversations because, I'm going to say it backwards. You talk the talk and you walk the walk, literally. And we're going to talk in a second about what that means. But I do want to just point out to anybody who has any questions about, Civil War ghosts or the Civil War for that matter. It's such a fascinating topic. Please call in. You can call us at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. You can also send an email to the station. You can send a comment at am950radio.com. Also, I am live streaming the studio right now. We are on Paranormal United Network 2. We are on AM 950. We're on Minnesota Ghost Box, Parafriends. We're in a bunch of different places. Leave a comment in the comment section if you have a question for John or whatever, and we will be happy to move that forward and answer them. So, John, I'm not really sure where to start because I've never been to any of the Civil War battlefields, which is always, I think we've had this conversation before. It's one of the things I really want to do, and I still, as of yet, have not done it. But, I was just going to say,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say a couple of years, we're just going to do this in sync. The whole show will be in sync, us talking at the same time. I was just going to say, I did have an opportunity a number of years ago to investigate a house in, I can't remember exactly where, it's not too far from Fort Snelling, Minnesota, that that is now a residential house, but it used to be a hospital during the Civil War. So we investigated that place, and I'll tell you, it was very, very fascinating. We got animals also that came through. This is, you know, this really brings forth a lot of good energy when you think about. Let me back that up. As an investigator, it's really cool. It's not cool in terms of what happened to a lot of these men, these boys, all that stuff. And that's something that, you know, as an investigator, we always have to keep in mind too.
You know, what I found always fascinating about investigating a place like that is, where do you get an opportunity to communicate with something 150, 158 years ago?
Right.
You know, that type of thing. And it's, you know, the way of thinking, the way they are, what has happened, what they went through, and they're still going through it.
Yeah.
They're still going, they're reliving it constantly. And it's just, you know, we've done, you know, a few places that, of course, were Civil War hospitals also. And it's just, you don't need equipment. They're there. They'll come right up to the dinner table. I'm telling you, Greg, it's just absolutely fascinating. And now that I have a place of my own, you know, a museum, and it just continues, you know, to be able to communicate. And, you know, I keep trying to get into the mode of, you have to think like that in order to communicate. You got to think back to the Civil War, that type of thing, that time zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're certainly not going to talk about anything present, you know, anything. You just have to be in that zone. And depending on what happened in that zone, like you talked about, the hospital,
mm-hmm.
everything is, you know, in a panic. Everything's, you know, you're in a hospital for a reason. It's a lot to keep up with.
Now,
but that's incredible. So
I am sure it is. Is it emotionally overwhelming to be in these places and investigate?
You know, when we, you know, as you know, we do Gettysburg a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we do the inn at Hare Ridge. Now, Hare Ridge was the Confederate stronghold for the three-day battle. And the bed and breakfast was the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we do dinner with a ghost, in that hospital. Well, it's a bed and breakfast, but once a hospital, always a hospital in history. So, you know, we have done, maybe 3-4 years of it. And, you know, the last time we were there, we were approached for the first time by an actual surgeon.
Oh.
And he kept it going for about an hour and a half of talking. You know, it's like, oh my God, somebody's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not on my end, it's on his end.
Yeah.
And he started explaining through a lot of different things. It took a lot to put all this together. But he explained that just because everybody left town after, you know, the retreat, he didn't. He was still there for 2 years, mending the wounded, blood up to his knees, a mess. And he continued to talk about that. And we responded to him with, we knew he communicated that he was from Georgia and that he is not going home because there is no home left. That his whole life is going to change once he gets out of Gettysburg. He is going west.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was there 2 more years, the war was over. So naturally, he's going west. And he talked about the thrill of it and wanting to do this, you know, enough of the amputees and this and that and everything else, that he was going. And his wish was started, and he let us know along the way that he had died.
Because he never left. He never
technically
left alive.
Not.
Yeah.
No, No. Wow. No.
How did you get this information? What did you get this?
You know, in between, of course, you know, there's always the ovulus.
Yeah.
I believe it and I don't believe it. You know, it definitely works. And you know, the good thing about that, if you ask a direct question and you get a direct answer, it's more comfortable than the individual words. And when they start coming out 2-3 words at a time. And we also started using the yes and no thing.
Okay.
Which is a little more responsible. And we do that with the REM pod. We put the REM pod on the ghost table, mm-hmm. you know, his place at the table. And it got to the point where, you know, they're very good about it because you got to explain it. You can't tell them touch the antenna or touch that box or that piece of plastic. They have no clue.
No.
You have to show them.
Yep.
Show them. And we've also added something else lately. It may sound funny, but it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. We added a doorbell. Automated doorbell, battery-powered doorbell. We put it right near his plate or her plate or whoever's plate. It is absolutely incredible. You know, it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had dinner with the ghost last night, and, you know, the first thing I do is I explain not only to the people there, but the other people that are there.
Yeah.
You know, how to do this and what it's about, and you may not recognize this, but it's a better form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it works great. Last night it worked great. It was different.
What we're going to do, we're going to take our first break so that when we come back, I want to talk about John's, his baby, Dinner with a Ghost. We're going to talk, because we talked about it a lot so far. I want him to explain what it is. And then we're going to talk about Civil War Ghosts with our expert, John B. Cushman. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you for joining us. Our guest today is Civil War expert John B. Cushman. As we talk about Civil War ghosts and other things, and I want to make a not necessarily a clarification, but for those who don't know what we were talking about in the first segment when John was mentioning about a device called the Ovilus, and I may have shown it in one of my past shows if you had been able to see the live stream. It's a little box, and basically what it does, it will pop up words that is from a bank of words that are that's in the box, and you ask a question to spirit, and they use the energy to bring out the word that they want to say. And I have to say, John, you know, the best time it's ever worked for me was when I was in Deadwood, South Dakota, about, right? And you know where I'm going with this. And it was probably about 4 years ago. And I got 108 words in 58 minutes.
That's incredible.
And they were all, and I'm getting the chills even thinking about it again, because it was there. They were all relevant. You know, they were termed.
Yes, and that's what I was talking about earlier. Yes.
Yeah, because if you ask a question like, you know, can you come through, Mom, and you get bread, and maybe bread might mean something to you, but often, like you said, John, I couldn't agree more. It's a love-hate relationship with the device, but
it is.
When it starts spewing out the words, you just know that there's something going on there. It just, I mean, and the fact that you're in a place that has activity, I was in a place that has activity, these are not coincidence, in my opinion. So I just wanted to clarify that for those who may not have understood what we were talking about. But John, I wanted to talk about – you've been talking about Dinner with a Ghost. This has been a concept that I've heard about, admired, just really think it's such a fascinating and cool idea. And I would like you to explain it to everybody about what you're doing.
Okay. Dinner with a Ghost was created let's see. It's been about 15-16 years ago.
Wow.
And I was on vacation with my son up and down Nevada, going up and down highways, looking at old towns. And one of the towns that we were going through, of course, I wanted to show my son that town, was Goldfield. And you're familiar with Goldfield, you know, Zach Bagans and all the hoopla from that.
Yeah, I was just there last year. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Well, that was our nation's largest gold strike in our history.
Yes.
And that 1905, and that was when sheriffs and deputies like Wyatt Earp and his brother were deputy sheriffs there at the time. Can you imagine 1905? Now, picture this in your mind. 50,000 people in central Nevada in Goldfield. 50,000?
It's changed a little bit.
There wasn't even Las Vegas.
Right.
So that's 1905. 1923, a still, liquor still blew up in the center of town. 80-mile-an-hour winds. The town was gone. In 2 hours, they couldn't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours.
Amazing.
50,000 homeless, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So here my son and I are, you know, entering Goldfield, and it was cold. It was October, that type of thing. And I wanted to see a couple of the sites. Well, it was a high school. So we pulled up to the high school. Mm-hmm. There's a guy on his hands and knees filling in the cracks of the high school with cement, and got out of the car, went up to him, and I asked him what he was doing. He goes, I am trying to winterize and save this building. Back then, they didn't build these massive buildings on foundations. They built them on the dirt.
No.
So, you know, it very shaky type of thing, but he stood up, rinsed his hands off, shook my hand, and introduced himself. He was commissioner. He's the commissioner of Esmeralda County.
Okay.
Big position.
Yep.
And here he is on his hands and knees trying to save something. And I talked to him about it. I said, there's government funding, there's grants, there's this and that. And he said, we've been trying for years to get that. I said, give me a couple weeks. Let me figure out a way we could raise money and get people interested. Because, 3 hours from Vegas, 5 hours from Reno, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we could create something to bring people here. 2 weeks later, I came back. You know, my background was I worked for Cisco for 30 years. I have a marketing background, a history background. And with all that, I put together Dinner with a Ghost and worked out a whole marketing program and how we're going to do it and this and that. And all of a sudden, we had people coming.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner with a Ghost. And we did that for 7 years, you know, 2-3 times a month there, raising funds. And then time moved on, and it was time to take it out on the road. And I think that's right about the time you and I met each other over the phone. And
yep.
It has blossomed from there. And it has taken me to Virginia, where I'm doing the same thing. I am raising funds to preserve an 1870 Octagon Mansion. Octagon Mansion, there's 11 of them left in the nation.
Hmm.
3 in Virginia. 2 of them are, you know, one of them's mine. One of them is, I believe they call him Thomas Jefferson. And they're becoming a thing of the past. So my whole thing was, I'm going to save this place. So.
It's amazing. And the purpose of it, and I'll probably interrupt you because we're going to go to break here in a minute. But
that's
just,
okay. That's
but,
okay.
But the purpose of what happens at these dinners, first of all, is it's a kind of a in my opinion, kind of a step up than what you get in a lot of events that are around paranormal.
Please. It. First of all, you arrive at 8 o'clock for a champagne reception.
Mm-hmm.
And a tour of the property. Yeah, so you get a tour of the Octagon Mansion or the high school, wherever we were at. 9 o'clock, a 4-course chef-prepared gourmet dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, 2 hours later, you get the paranormal investigation of the location. So you're getting, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours of real good stuff for, you know, a fair price. Like you said, stepping up, and that every dime that is created from that goes to that project or that location. So
I'm just going to say real fast that at my events that I put on, I don't even give them Mountain Dew. Just so you know, that's how much better yours are at the moment. What we're going to do is we're going to take our second break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the Octagon Mansion. We're going to also talk. Greg Koss has a question that we're going to get to when we come back. And this is truly fascinating and only scratching the surface. We're with John B. Cushman. We're going to be talking more Civil War ghosts. This is Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. We'll be right back. And don't forget, every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on both my Facebook profile page and my Ghost Box Radio Facebook page, you can join me for live Spirit Box sessions. It's called Ghost Box Live with Greg Bakken. And what we do is we try to reach out to your loved ones or talk to any spirits that come through. You know, it sounds crazy when you say it over the air like this, but I guarantee you tune into it, you're going to find it to be very interesting, especially if we try to reach out to a loved one of yours. You never know what's going to happen. We don't guarantee responses, but I do guarantee respectful communication. And you'd be surprised with just the energy that comes through on these things. It's safe. We make sure everyone is protected and taken care of. And we're going to do one tonight. It's Sunday night at 10 p.m. It's going to be on my Minnesota Ghost Box Facebook page on the Paranormal United Network. And it's going to be a good time. So please check it out if you have a chance. Also, you know, if you would like to advertise on my radio show, please send me a note. You know, we have spots available and we're always looking to help partner with anyone and see how we could help you and help me for that matter. Feel free to reach out to me, greg@ghostboxradio.com. It's greg@ghostboxradio.com. And we could talk with the amazing sales team here at AM 950 and figure out what works for you. So please send me a note. Also, if you miss Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken Live, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes. After listening, please leave a positive review for my show. That would help me very much. I'd appreciate that. And also, I started a Patreon page to help with the creative paranormal work that I've been doing. If you're interested, a subscription starts as low as $2 a month. $5 a month gets you some very special, unique stuff that's not publicly available anywhere else. And we're working on some stuff that will be truly amazing if we can do it. So please check out patreon.com/ghostboxlive. And if you have any extra change every month, that'd be great if you could help me out with that. If not, just enjoy this show. I'm so happy to be able to do this. Our guest today is Civil War expert John B. Cushman, as we talk about Civil War ghosts. And we kind of ended the last segment a little abruptly, but I wanted to kind of have a segue. And we're going to talk more about the Octagon Mansion in a moment. But one of our wonderful listeners, Greg Koss, had a question for you, and he was just curious about any really interesting stories from your investigations on any battlefields in Gettysburg. And he went on to say that his favorite spot is the triangular field below Devil's Den. And I'm so envious of both of you to have been able to get out there, and I hope I can sometime soon. But what do you think of all that about, like, Gettysburg in particular?
Well, I think one of my best encounters was, of course, the wheat field. And, of course, the wheat field was First Minnesota anyway, you know, which you're mm-hmm. familiar with.
Yes.
I had gone to Gettysburg in, almost every year. But it was 07. I had gone. And I took, my son and my wife, and we met our friends out there from Pennsylvania, good friend Rocco and his wife and his daughter, both children being 2 years old. And, you know, we go for the reenactments, that type of thing. So that particular day, got up early, went to have the kids' pictures taken, and I had asked the gal there at the servant house, is where, you know, they took all these pictures and stuff, about, you know, what does one do here? What is really the place to be? And I'm not talking the walking tours going down the street,
right,
looking in people's windows.
Right.
And I said, you know, where would be the place? She goes, well, there's two places. And she's been there all her life. And, you know, she's telling me these stories. Culp's Hill or the Wheat Field. Those were, you know, those are the places.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gathered my son up and went across the street and told everybody, guess what we're doing tonight? And, you know, by the time they took their jaws off the table saying, okay, have you thought it through? And I said, what do you mean? What are you doing with the kids? Oh. So I went to the hotel desk and I said, you know, you must have a sitting service. No. Is there any in town? No. And I'm like, oh, man. And I'm going to give everybody the bad news. And two maids had stopped me in the hallway, said, we'll do it. You watch the children? And she goes, absolutely. You watch them in the room? Absolutely. Miracle done. So I went back and said, guess where we're going at 8 o'clock tonight? So, you know, to speed ahead on this, Wheatfield, and you've never been there, so it takes a while to get back into there. And I had the soccer van that I had rented, and you know, pulled up to the wheat field, and I wanted to show everybody, you know, the basic layout of the wheat field. So took everybody to the center of the wheat field, and that's where the monument was. And the girls sat down, and Rocco and I were impatient. You know, we walked around for a while, went over to Little Round, walk over to Little Round Top, which is very close, and it got dark. And the girls are screaming for us, you know, and, you know, not the best screams you ever heard, you know, get back here, that type of thing. So we got back there, and you got to picture this area. There's nothing. There's no houses. There's nothing out there but battlefield. You know, you're talking 25 square miles of battlefield. And they heard things. They heard drums. They heard dogs howling.
Amazing.
And I said, okay, everybody just calm down. Let's just sit down and take it in. Because it's dark and things are having full moon. Who applied for the full moon that night? It's incredible. And as the night started to go on, I noticed that a fog bank was coming down Little Round Top, and it was coming down onto the ground. I said, you know, I think we ought to head to the van, head down the pathway that we came, and continue this at the van so we don't lose perspective on where we're at. So we all headed back to the van. I sat on the bumper, Rocco sat on the other bumper, and the girls stood at the side of the van. And time was going on, and all of a sudden, boom! Something hit that van. Something hit that van very hard. And of course, you know, the screams start happening, and the girls, you know, panicking, trying to get into the van, and they were pushed out of the way
by you,
and that just made it worse.
Oh.
And they managed to struggle and get in the van, and of course, the, you know, the four letter words were flying to get us out of here and this and that. And I said, no, something's going to happen. And I sat back down on the bumper, and Rocco had looked at me and said, you know, it's past 10 o'clock. We shouldn't really be out here. I said, it's okay. It's okay. I popped open the hood of the van, disconnected a couple spark plugs. If anybody came by, we had van trouble. So, and all of a sudden, another rock hit that vehicle hard. And all I could think about is, man, I'm glad I took the insurance. I know it sounds stupid, but that's the first thing I thought about. So, again, everybody's in a panic. I said, something is going to happen here. and then another rock hit.
So three rocks. Yeah.
Three rocks. Now, everybody's in a panic. I'm sitting on the front bumper looking for something to happen. And I turn around, I yell at the girls, we'll go in a little bit. Then I turn to Rocco. I said, Rocco, oh my God, he's in the van screaming to get out of there.
Wow.
Some pal he was. He's in the van screaming. So I put it together, put the, spark plug thing back on, shut the vehicle, go open the door, get in. I couldn't get the lights off in the vehicle. I don't know if I screwed something up or what, but we start taking off. I couldn't get the vehicle to go more than 5 miles an hour.
Oh, boy.
It was incredible. And it was a long, long, slow ride out of that part of the park into Steinway Avenue, and the van took off like nothing was wrong with it. So I took everybody down to a convenience store at the end of Steinway just to, let everybody breathe and maybe get a beer. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to check the damage. So got in there, got out of the vehicle, started walking around the vehicle. I'm telling you, Greg, there wasn't a nick, a scratch, nothing on that vehicle. And as I stood up, and I noticed something on the roof, it was one of those rocks was on the roof.
Oh, wow.
So I went back the next day just to get, a look. I couldn't find the rocks anywhere. Mm. I took pictures, and if we get together, I'll send you a picture of what was taken.
Yeah.
It was, a full, I'm going to call it an apparition, but it was incredible.
Wow.
I don't know if it was from the night before or whatever, but it was still something. But it was different. It was different. It was almost like it was a game. It was a game. There was no harm done, no foul, nobody was hurt. But it's things like that.
You came out for an experience, and they gave it to you.
Yeah, and we didn't have to walk for it. No. We had to walk around town.
Can I ask a question of clarification? When you said that the girls were pushed out of the way, I immediately thought that meant that, maybe Rocco was kind of pushing them out of the way. Was that – were you actually meaning Spirit was pushing them? Like there was – okay.
Yes. Yes. And, boy, you talk about panic. To be there to relive that would be just unbelievable. The panic.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Just to follow up, Greg did put another comment in, and he said, "My first experience was with my family at Reynolds Woods in 1959. Oh, yeah. I'm never going to forget that experience."
See.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, that's just one story. That's just one experience you've
well,
had.
Well, and when. And, being at Hare Ridge all these years, we're in the, what was the hospital at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the experiences, they leave notebooks in the rooms so people can talk about their experiences, take notes and stuff.
Because every room has rooms, stuff, huh? Yeah.
One of the rooms was the surgery room. One was the doctor's, and one was the morgue. It's something you need to come and experience.
Yeah, I do.
Why don't you come and host with me one night?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. Let's talk more about this, but
we will.
I just want to get us into our last break here because I want to talk about the Octagon Mansion when we come back. And also, if anyone else has any questions for John, please, this is a unique opportunity. This is a lot of fun to be able to kind of pick the brain of somebody who, knows so much about this and so passionate about it. And that's what I love. That's why I love talking to John. He's just a great guy. So we're going to take our final break. When we come back, more John B. Cushman. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. And join us next week on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bach. And we're going to have one of two things happening. And you know how it goes. Sometimes we don't have things completely figured out. We're either going to have a wonderful demonologist. I don't know if you could say wonderful and demonologist, but I think you get my drift, is very knowledgeable. And if we don't get him on for next week, we'll get him on at some point down the line. But also, if we do not get him on, I will probably do another paranormal chat talking about some of the experiences I've had in my paranormal career and all the places I've been to and whatnot. That seemed to go over pretty well last time. Or heck, we could, you know, if he's up for it, we can bring back our guest today, Civil War expert John B. Cushman, who we talk about Civil War ghosts. And I know that we're just scratching the surface on all of this. And John, I have to say too, I was up to against the clock prior to the break, so I did not totally convey how exciting it was that you suggested I co-host one of those Dinner with the Ghosts with you. And I just make sure that you understand it, I would be honored. Okay. I just want to get that out there because it felt like I really underplayed that. And that was very unfortunate of me. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew that that was really cool that you said that.
Talk about great stories. You know, since I've been in Virginia, in working on the Octagon Mansion, as we were going to talk about, you know, I came across an incredible, incredible Civil War story.
Oh, yeah?
It was known as Tollin's Raid. You know, 1863 was Gettysburg. 1863 was Vicksburg. 1863 was Wytheville, Virginia. Really? Mm-hmm. You know, there was a battle at Saltville, and they wanted to send the cavalry into Wytheville to destroy the lead mines. Lead mines make bullets, and they want to destroy the railroad. Bullets get on a train, they take the train, you know, and so 188 cavalry coming over the mountain towards Wytheville. A young gal had seen them coming, and I'm giving you the short version. Young gal saw them coming, hopped on the horse, did the Paul Revere thing, rode 40 miles ahead of the cavalry to go warn the town of Wytheville.
Mm.
They're coming. Well, she got down there, and there were very few soldiers to protect the town. So what they did, the soldiers that were there took every woman and child, because that's all there were, women and children, put them in center of town, up in the buildings, armed them all, guns, rifles, whatever, armed them all. And here comes 188 down Main Street, mm-hmm. down towards the center of town. The women and children slaughtered them.
Oh, wow.
188 professional Union soldiers slaughtered. Now, there's a couple things that happened from that. First of all, two of them have survived. One of them quoted to the Philadelphia newspaper, it was the avenue of death. The other part of that is the embarrassment of the women and children taking on the U.S. cavalry. So they failed at doing what they came for. Mm-hmm. 1865, they came back with 5,000 troops. 5,000.
Wow.
And they succeeded in what they were going to do, destroy the mines, the railroads, and, you know, put a little grief on the town too.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds to an incredible amount of history for Wytheville and the Octagon. So it's incredible, you know, incredible story.
Now we only have about 3.5 minutes left because it goes quickly.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell me what are you doing in the Octagon Mansion? Because you and I talked a little bit before the show, and it's just, I mean, it sounds utterly amazing.
Well, the Octagon is 8,800 square feet. Sits on the west side of town, you know, downtown. What I'm doing is restoring it.
Mm-hmm.
And preserving it. My wife, myself, and another gentleman are in there daily restoring it. I have, you know, paranormal groups coming in, every weekend. We're booked through the end of the year. Nice. Every weekend. Mm-hmm. And every dime from that, from their overnights, goes to help restoring it. Mm-hmm. You know, I put my retirement into it, and we're taking this building that has been severely neglected and try to save it. You know, like I told you before, it's an octagon.
Yep. Yep.
They're very few. So between that, dinner with the ghost there once a month, all that is being funneled into doing this. And I'm personally doing all the work along with my wife and this gentleman. So we are daily putting this together. The interior is just probably a month from being done. We're going to open it, hopefully Memorial weekend.
Perfect.
So the museum will be open.
Yes. No, and just to put out there, I've already talked with you about doing one of our live paranormal shows.
Oh, absolutely.
Living Paranormal out there. I mean, it just, folks, take a look at the pictures. But yes, so you are so close to opening the museum.
Yes, but we open, you know, not so much open. Our doors are open for anybody that wants to come. Now.
Sure.
And that's the way it's been for a couple of years. When we walked in there, there was nothing. Ceilings falling down, walls falling down, no furniture, no lights, no nothing, you know. And it's like I said, about a month away from being completed on the interior.
You must be so excited. You and
oh, absolutely.
And folks, check this out. Go to Facebook. Go to and find the page, the 1870 Octagon Mansion History Museum. You're going to see a handsome gentleman with a lot of Civil War memorabilia around him in some of the pictures. And honestly, get a look at what this place is. It's so beautiful, John. I mean, I'm so happy for you. This is like
you
the
need
perfect
to come.
Set. I do need to go. You're absolutely right, and that's why we got to figure out dates and stuff. What works
absolutely.
For you. Because I have myself and a couple other folks who would love to be able to check it out. I mean, gosh, this
road
is
trip.
Road trip and just, I mean, I can't even explain how exciting this is. As far as Dinner with the Ghost, do you have anything up anywhere to tell people where these events are happening?
Absolutely.
Where can we find it?
We're heading to Gettysburg, May 14th, 15th, 21st, 22nd, Civil War Week, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Hint, hint. we're working on a great big event with another paranormal event company, Haunted Nights.
Okay.
And we're going to do a big event out there probably in August. So I'll keep you up to date on that.
Okay. And I'm going to have to... I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off there because we're coming to the end of the show. But we're going to have you on very soon. How does that sound?
Absolutely.
John, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. Join us next week. We're going to have another great show. You are listening to the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. Thank you, Patrick, for running the board and producing this. And we will see you next week, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.